Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get to the Word, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for the laughter that you've given each and every one of us, Lord, that we wake up with smiles on our faces and joy in our heart, Lord, that you are always there when we need you, Lord, that you are so loving, that you know how to have a good time, a truly good time, Lord, in righteousness and truth and in love, Lord. We ask that you'll continue to guide us, that you'll show us what you have for us this morning, Lord. And we ask forgiveness if we have aught against any of our brethren, Lord, any neighbor of ours, Lord, that we forgive them, Lord. And we ask that you'll forgive them as well, Lord, and let them go free, Lord. And we thank you for showing them the same mercy and grace that you've shown each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So happy to have you with us and excited to get into the Word with each of you this morning, continuing our study in the book of James. We're in chapter 2, still covering verses 20 through 26. So whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode and just take a moment to read through that section of Scripture, making it easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. And as is our custom, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
I really enjoyed yesterday's episode, just listening to how the Lord was ministering to each of you. And back in our springboard, our section that we're covering right now, James chapter 2, verse 24 denotes and depicts what each of you were talking about as the Lord ministered to you. It says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. When we read in Hebrews, right, it was all about faith. Without faith, it's impossible. They were justified by their faith. And on the surface, it would seem like these two writers were contradicting one another, but that's an impossibility with the Holy Spirit. And what the Lord was doing, they're both right. If you believe God, you'll obey God, or you'll do what's right and appropriate according to Him. And He was, the Holy Spirit in James is coming at the same topic from a different perspective. You know, how have you ever read in Deuteronomy, the Lord saying one thing 10 different ways? And you're like, Lord, you said it already. Why are you repeating yourself? Or Leviticus, or as He's giving the law, how He talks about it from a multitude of angles. So that means that no matter how your brain functions, what keywords capture your understanding, God said it in a way that you could understand. So everyone's accountable. So as He's talking to us in James, what seems, I'll say mystical or ultra spiritual in Hebrews, James is bringing to smack your face reality. Like, you can put your hand on it, you can touch it, you can feel it and understand it and captivate it with your physical part of your being, so that you actually can put it into action, which is available in both scriptures, both Hebrews and James. It's just a different aspect that he's talking about, or that the Holy Spirit is approaching from to convey the same message. So the Lord is not satisfied with us just seeing or knowing or understanding, but we have to do. And not just that, it's not just good that we started. You have to finish the journey that's been assigned to you. Now, with that, also don't mistake that for where it talks about in the prophets, or I believe it's also in Hebrews, that they were not made perfect apart from us. So like the prophetic word went out ahead of time, but then the manifestation didn't come, you know, in the case of the Messiah being prophesied about hundreds and a thousand years or so, you know, however many hundred years it was from Abraham to the Messiah actually coming in the flesh. And Genesis, where Adam is declaring the mission and the ministry and the role that Christ would take, leaving mm-hmm. heaven to come into earth in a flesh body to preserve and to reserve or reclaim this portion of the bride of Christ. He said that all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Amen. Eden before sin even came into the world, declared who Jesus was and that he was coming and what he was going to do. But all the way through the scriptures, you know, Isaiah prophesying about the Messiah, but he never got to physically see him in person in the flesh in the way that the Lord was speaking to him about. That's different, them speaking the word and not seeing it in their lifetime, and that it would be made manifest in ours when we were talking about, you were talking about, darling, the generations.
Right.
That's different than me doing all that I'm assigned to do in my generation and handing off a completed parcel or piece of the puzzle to the next generation. Amen. That's two different aspects and components. And I think sometimes we get those mixed up and we go, well, this is far enough, Lord. I'm just going to sit down right here because I can't go any further. Like
Terah. Yep.
Abram's natural father, that he couldn't get past his son's death, right? He named the city after his son that died, and that's where he stayed. He would not move past that or beyond that situation, that circumstance or disappointment or whatever it was. He wouldn't go beyond it to finish the assignment that God gave him, so that when Abram came up on the scene, Abram had a clean handoff. Like when we see a relay race and we see them coming around and they've got the baton, we need every person to finish their quarter, their section of the race, and hand the baton off, not stop halfway in the middle and drop the baton and sit down. And everybody's like, hey, we're waiting on you. We're going to lose the race because you didn't do, or they have to go. And you know what I mean? Like, right. The whole race is altered because one person didn't finish their leg. So the Lord is also speaking to us, not only to ask for wisdom, not only to target our faith, and not only to start out, right? Not only believe God, but then do corresponding actions, but there has to be a finishing of your assignment in the earth, because there are people who are waiting for you to finish your course, right? We needed every prophetic word from Isaiah. We needed every prophetic word from Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And we needed Daniel to see. We needed all of the things that mm-hmm. the Lord assigned each of these people. We needed Rahab to finish. You know, it wasn't good mm-hmm. enough that she just said, all right, y'all, I'm going to let y'all get out of the city and I'm going to send them the other way. All right, I'm done. That wasn't enough. She had to actually tie the scarlet rope in her window.
Absolutely.
She had to actually, when the walls fell down, wait where they told her to wait and have all her family there. She had to follow all the steps and instructions. She had to run out of the city when they came to get her, right? And then she had to keep going and not try to build up Jericho again for herself. She had to continue in the process and finish all that was assigned to her. And then God honored her with her place in the line of Jesus Christ. Then God honored, I think in Peter, it says that after you've suffered, God will settle you and strengthen you. And suffer doesn't mean that you're just, you know, like Job laying in the dirt, cutting yourself with pot shears, the boils, not cutting yourself, but scraping the boils to try to find relief. He's not talking about punishing you. He's talking about after you've done everything that God asked you to do, right? Finish the race. Finish the race. That's where the reward lies. We want the reward as soon as we go, all right, Lord, I'm going to sign up for the race. When we put our name on the sheet to sign up, we want the Lord to bring out the trumpets and we want him to bring out the confetti and the fanfare and give us the medal and the trophy. And we're like, yay! You know, we want to have our photo shoot.
I did it.
Exactly.
When you haven't done anything yet.
You just put your name on the paper, right? You just put your name on the paper. You still have to practice. You still have to stretch. You still have to... Right? Show up on race day. You should have to get on the line. You have to wait for the...
Persevere.
Exactly. Persevere. You got to wait for the signal to go.
So you don't get a DNF, did not finish.
That's right. Right, at the end. Or get disqualified at the starting line because you ran off before they... You know, started the race officially, or you never showed up, or whatever it was. You have to not only believe God, not only get the vision of what he's saying and go, yeah, that sounds good, God, right? Not only show up and start the race, but you've got to finish, which is what you alluded to yesterday, Layla, in the example of 2 Kings. He started, but he didn't finish, right? Because yes, if you mommy. Did three and the goal was five or six, you didn't get there all the way. Uh-huh. And he didn't totally come in and disregard because he had the nerve to come and ask. Right? He had the gumption to show up and go, oh, you're on your way out? Wait a minute. I need more help from the Lord. He showed up. Right? And he let Elisha put his hand on the bow, and he followed each instruction that Elisha had given him up until that point. But he didn't finish, which left things undone for the next generation, mm-hmm. which is what you were talking about, right. my love. And then that the grace that God has given us is to finish the race. So if you need 10 steps to get to the end of the race and cross the finish line, right? And there's enough grace for each of those 10 steps. But instead of you using your grace on those 10 steps, you use it on, I got to get two at the concession stand, right? One out in the parking lot. And then I show up for the race that still has 10 steps that's needed. Well, I've used three portions of my grace elsewhere, like the rats that you can't eat for dinner. And then I still got a ways to go. So I don't have enough grace to get to the end of it. So that does take us being aware and having an accountability and a responsibility with the things of God to hold them as precious and hold ourselves accountable. Layla, you wanted to say something, sweetheart?
Just something that you remind me of as well, Mommy, about the grace meter. When you use it on something that is not intended to be used on, it steals from the other areas that you needed it for. So, okay, you want to finish those 10 steps for the race. Well, how are you going to get to your car to get back home? She's going to lay out on the field and let it rain on you because it's going to rain directly after the race. But if you had used your grace properly, you would have done the 10 steps. You would have been able to sprint to the car, get in your car and go home and sleep in the comfort of your home with that nice down pillow that I really like to sleep on. But now you're left out in the field like a wild animal because you're just too tired. You can't even make it to the parking lot to get to your car to drive home. You just fall over and quit. You quit in more than just the race. There were other areas that there was a cost to.
Right. So the Lord is so good to us, and he's generous and he's compassionate. Mm-hmm. And why mishandle what the Lord has provided for us? Why mishandle it? And then why start but not finish? I think, again, the writer Paul talks about this. You have to finish the race that's set before you. When he talks about his time ending on the natural earth and putting off his tent, I have finished the race, is what he says. And just because you show up doesn't mean anything. I mean, yes, a good start, and you might celebrate that versus uh-huh. sitting on the couch, but that's not the end all be all. The reward comes at the end. And it's not just barely finishing. It's after you win the race that Amen. You get the prize. So as we are, you know, looking at the Word of God, understanding what belongs where, right? Just because, like, the prophetic side of things, Isaiah finished the course that God had for him, even though the prophetic manifestation didn't come till later, but that was all that God asked him to do. That was what God asked him to do, right? Christ finished his journey here in the earth, and then he went on to, he's working the next journey Amen. That God has for him, the Father has for him right now. And just because he, there were works that he left for us to do, but that's our leg of the journey. Uh-huh. So just because there's work for us to do doesn't mean he didn't finish his part.
Well, he said that very plainly, right? In John 17, the high priestly prayer, right? He said that I have accomplished all the work you gave for me to do. Amen. And then, yes, as you brought up on the cross, right? That was the ending line, right? It is finished.
Amen.
So yeah, all stuff for us to consider. And John 4, right? Which is the other, or what the main thing you're talking about. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It's not just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just maintaining.
Or going halfway.
Right, exactly.
Or getting 3/4 of the way.
We have to finish.
Or stopping short of the finish line. Mm-hmm. It matters just as much. I mean, like, the whole thing hangs on us finishing. Oh, 2 Timothy 3:6-8. Will you read that for me, sweetheart?
Yes. For I'm already being poured out as the drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, or not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To everyone who finishes the race.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is interested. I believe you quoted Hebrews 11:6. Let me look at
for
it
which
quick.
Part.
But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it is about your faith. Faith, with all the components acting and working the way it is intended and designed to, will not only lead us to believe God and to start and to comprehend the things that he says to us and to appreciate it and be glad about them and find merit in what the Lord says, but also to finish the work all the way. Keep the faith is what we read, you just read in 2 Timothy. Keeping the faith means you hold fast to it the entirety of the way to get you to the end, right? And it's, we know that it's not just faith in and of itself, but we know the Holy Spirit's grace will bring us there, but you're keeping that faith active with all the components working in your life and your continued commitment to carry on until you get to the end and not faint, not quit, not sit down.
Yes, mommy. And not only keeping the faith, but also building it, because we do see that there are going to be challenges that arise that require more faith than what you had when you first believed the Lord to save you. That takes a measure of faith, but as you walk throughout your life, and we even see it exemplified with the Apostle Paul, that there were times where he needed more faith, where the situation required him to show and demonstrate more faith, and he wouldn't have been able to do it if he wasn't filling that faith canister, if he just sat down on the grass and said, well, Lord, you better find another apostle, because this is all I'm going. This is all Paul wrote. Nope. He kept going, and he allowed the Lord to stretch him to meet the challenge. He didn't shrink back and hide or cower. Mm-hmm. Abraham didn't hide and cower when the Lord said, okay, now offer up your only son Isaac. Abraham didn't say, oh, hold on a tick, Lord. You're asking for too much. He allowed the Lord to stretch him, to bring him to a new level, to bring him to a new height. The Messiah allowed the Lord to stretch him and bring him to a new level and a new height, so that he truly conquered everything and everyone. And that's why he is our great high priest. There's not a challenge that either of us will face, or a combination of challenges that the Lord Jesus has not already faced and conquered, because he had the faith to do it. And he actually went out and did the work in accordance and demonstration of his faith. And the same thing is required of us, Dan. And another example, you were teaching me one day. I was near the point of tears because I was not doing well with school. And I wanted my professors, I wanted the teacher to just stop talking. I wanted them to stop asking for so much in their papers or their assignments or whatever and do what I wanted them to do. I wanted to quit. I wanted to stop. I wanted to throw that baton so far out in the field, nobody was ever going to find it. And then you told me, you asked me, okay, so what kind of person are you going to be? You're going to be a quitting failure. And I thought, of course not, Dad. Why would you ask such a silly question? Of course I'm not going to be a quitter. And he's like, well, that's how quitters start. I want you to bring the standard down for me, not I'm going to rise to meet it. I want you to bring it down for me. That is to start a bad start for someone who's not going to finish, who's not going to do it in excellence either. So you asked me that question, and then I sat down and I thought for a minute, still nearly on the verge of tears, and then I finally understood what you were asking me. Finally, after however many years later, and let me do some math, 18 minus 12, 6 years later, I finally understood what the question was. Am I going to finish? You weren't assassinating my character and saying I was lazy or a quitter. You were simply asking, is that all I'm going to be in life? Am I going to start and never finish? Am I going to ask for the bar to be lowered, or am I going to stretch and allow myself to be stretched to meet the challenge, and not only meet the challenge, but come out victorious, not, you know, holding my leg, limping across the finish line with a torn hammy. But
a fake torn hammy.
Fake torn hammy, but I rocket across that finish line, and I still have energy to get to my car to, you know, look at my trophy, put it on the bookshelf in the living room, and enjoy the victory that the Lord gave me.
And to celebrate. But you had to make a decision. You had to choose what and who Layla was going to be. Right. And that's, everyone has to do that. Look at what happened with the disciples. Right. But what did they ask?
Where Lord, are we going to go?
Well, they asked that too, but he said they asked the Lord to increase their faith so they could meet the challenges.
And the word says in Romans 10:10 that faith, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Hearing and believing and applying the word of God is what you can translate that to.
Which then when you look at it, yes, first and foremost with Christ, he's our pattern and example. Mm-hmm. But then we oftentimes reference, so many reference Hebrews 11, right? The great faith chapter. Mm-hmm. Why were all those individuals pleasing? Why is it written about them that the world was not worthy to have them here, to learn from their time on earth, their experience, and their instruction, the Lord's instruction through them, towards us? Why is that? Because they moved in faith till the end. They finished the race. Amen. That's why they're considered the heroes of the faith.
And it doesn't mean they didn't struggle. It doesn't mean they didn't have hard times. It doesn't mean they didn't have to persevere. It doesn't mean they didn't have to fast. It doesn't mean they didn't have some tears on their face. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they didn't feel tired or weak or in despair or pressed or crushed, right? Or abandoned. It doesn't mean that they didn't feel any of those things or physical pain. Christ experienced the epitome of physical pain.
Absolutely.
Right? And Paul was stoned and shipwrecked and snake bit and beaten ahead and left for dead, as my old pastor used to say.
Right.
And yet they persevered. Yet they moved on.
Mm-hmm. So that's up for a choice for everyone.
They chose to continue with Christ.
Right. So what will you choose?
Amen.
What will you choose? Will you press on with the Lord regardless of the situation, the circumstances, the trials, the challenges, or will you succumb to the pressure? Will you quit? Everyone has to make that choice for themselves.
We're finishers here.
Amen. And I fully expect that you, those who are listening, are as well.
Faith finishers. That's right.
So there's a lot in there. We're going to pause for today. But with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, I thank you for strengthening us, Lord. I thank you for providing us with the grace necessary to do everything you've asked us to do, Lord, the wisdom, the understanding, and the counsel. Lord, we thank you that you're always here with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, Lord, and that you don't cast us off to the side. You don't leave us for the adversary to run roughshod in our lives, Lord, but you always protect us, Lord, as long as we stay in communion and fellowship with you, Lord. We thank you for your abundant mercy towards us, Lord, that we didn't get exactly what we deserved, Lord, but you have given us every good blessing that we could think of, and even those that we can't, Lord. We thank you for our partners and listeners, that they are being blessed as well, that they are growing, they are excelling, they are increasing in the things of you, Lord, and that they are successful in all their endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care, and God bless you.